Time for the how appropriate the County National Bank show today with wealth management superstar Barry Malik joining us.
Hey, good morning, Greg.
Corporate office today. How are you doing, Barry?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
Good, good. Well, we're all adjusting to a new wave of COVID lifestyle adjustments. So some of us are working from home more than we had before.
Yeah. You getting used to that or no?
Not really. I prefer to be in the office, but and you know, I've got to go in there every now and then for scanning and for copies and things like that, because those are functions you can't do at home because of our security. But it's working out. I was in there last evening getting some stuff done after everyone on the front lines had left, because we do have our drive-thrus open, and the gals have been handling that really well. So.
Right.
But, yeah, it's Thanksgiving week. Good to be here. And just getting into a few of the community events and support. Lumen Christi had their virtual auction, which is, typically the green and gold banquet that we all attend each year. And that was Friday. And just another good event and fundraiser in our community. And, hope that went well. C&B was a sponsor of that Lumen Christi virtual auction. And then we have our, as we just heard a few minutes ago, the C&B Shop Local event. It's the Shop Local, and we're continuing to, be a local institution that is grounded in the community and supports the community. And, you know, along with that, this being Thanksgiving week, we're hoping everyone has a good and safe, blessed Thanksgiving. We've got some initiatives at the bank that we're involved in, assistance initiatives to help the community and help families who may be struggling right now. There's one with Community Action Agency for meals for families. And then every year we do the United Way campaign. And in addition to that, many, many others that are too numerous to list. But it's a unique year, and but Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful and reflect, and we want to help out and do what we can. Just looking at a brief economic review and markets, Dow Jones Industrial Average so far year to date as of Friday up 4.69%. The S&P 500 is up almost 12%, 11.95%. NASDAQ is up 33.28% year-to-date. And what we see and have seen is an extended pattern of advancing in large companies and in growth companies. And that has gone on longer than usual. It's been kind of a unique anomaly. But we've a big part of that can be attributed to some of the tech companies. And I've mentioned that on here before, that you have a few companies that have really been driving the market and driving growth, and large companies. And those would be, companies like Google and Amazon and YouTube. And you look at a handful of those, at some point we expect there to be a rotation. We've already seen signs of that. Year to date, the growth, large cap growth, is up 29.15%, and small cap value is a negative 4.4%. But that has mitigated the negative number quite a bit in recent weeks. As we look at just the last week, small company value has a positive 2.69%. And large company growth was down 0.46%. So we've seen more of that in recent weeks. And if we look at value in the large cap area, we actually saw the negative side of large cap value shrank. It's only off 2.63% year to date. And over the last week, it was actually in the positive numbers, 0.10, whereas I mentioned the large cap growth was negative 0.46. So might be seeing an indication here of the rotation back toward value and back toward small companies. Looking at the aggregate bonds, year to date up 7.32%. Muni index year to date up 4.42%. And of course, the interest on those municipal bonds is tax free. So remembering that. Gold for year to date is up almost 23%. Quite a bit of appreciation there. As we look where it was a year ago, it was $1,474 an ounce, currently $1,872 an ounce. Looking at interest rates, a year ago, the Fed funds rate, the Fed funds target rate was 1.75% or 175 basis points. Currently, it's 0.25%, 25 basis points. So big reduction there in the Fed funds rate. And the same thing in the 2-year and the 10-year treasury. Looking back a year ago, the 2-year treasury was 1.58% yield, and now it's at 0.16. So a fraction of what it was a year ago. Same thing going on with the 10-year treasury. A year ago, it was 1.74%. Now it's at 0.82%. So reflective of the big decrease in interest rates in the economy. Crude oil a year ago was $57 a barrel. Currently, it's $42 a barrel. We've seen that come up a little bit from what it was a couple months ago. And looking at the, getting back to interest rates, the yield curve has come up a little bit on the long end. Rather than being an inverted yield curve, it's very flat right now going out to about 10 years. And then after 10 years, you see a definite upward movement, so very flat, but in the long term, going out to the 30-year, some upward movement. So that's a big change from where we were back about a year ago, where there was inversion in the yield curve. Civilian unemployment rate, 6.9%. That has decreased from going back to July, it was 10.2%. Going back to August, it was 8.4%. And has steadily decreased to 6.9, under 7% now. So that's good signs. We may see that change a little bit with some of these lockdowns, hopefully not. But maybe a little bit more accuracy in honing in on specific type of safety measures as opposed to across the board and very arbitrary. So maybe we won't see as big of a decrease or an increase in unemployment and a hit to the economy. So personal savings rate currently at 14.3%. That's down a little bit from the summertime back in June of 18.7. And consumer confidence back in June was 91.7%. It's now 100.9. So that index has come up. Consumer confidence has increased from a few months back. So that's a review of the economics and the markets. Wanted to discuss today a few things that have happened in the last year. There's two big pieces of legislation that have come down. First was the SECURE Act that passed just before the end of the year last year. And the other one was the CARES Act, which came into effect for COVID, and that was back around March of this year. But first of all, the SECURE Act. The SECURE Act stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. And it was designed to increase retirement savings and streamline plan administration. And just highlighting a few things from our friends at Vanguard, in particular to retirement plans and retirement savings, for small companies, there's some new potential tax increase, or tax credits, I should say, for small businesses that are setting up retirement plans. And first of all, if an employer has no more than 100 employees in the preceding year, they may receive up to a 50% tax credit for retirement plan startup costs. And that can go up to as much as $5,000. And previously, prior to the SECURE Act, that was only $500, that tax credit. And it would apply to a qualified plan. And a qualified plan is a plan that satisfies Internal Revenue Code 401A. The tax credit is available for up to three taxable years, beginning with the year and the plan is established, and each of the two taxable years immediately following. Startup costs are defined as ordinary and necessary expenses that are paid and incurred in connection with establishment or administration of an eligible employer plan. And that would include things like filing the 5500, compliance testing, et cetera. And then retirement-related education for employees. And being a local dedicated provider, we have a couple of very good record-keeping companies we partner with, but we are the local point of service for our plans, and we've got a number of very happy companies that have a 401k simple SEP plans with us, and we go out and we do that employee education. So typically there's not any added expense there for our clients. It is open enrollment time too. It's that time of year, so it's that time that we're getting out there and we're talking to employees and doing employee meetings for those plan sponsors. Some small employers, there's automatic enrollment credit. So what that is when an employer sets up in their plan, because every plan is tailored for that particular company, but when they set up a plan that has auto enrollment, that is going to give you a tax credit of $500 a year for up to 3 years. And this... what it's referring to, in order to receive the credit, the auto enrollment arrangement must meet the definition of an eligible automatic contribution arrangement, or also called an EACA, and it helps to ensure employee participation by establishing a default automatic contribution percentage that must be uniformly applied to any employee who does not provide explicit instructions regarding pre-tax contributions. So it's a nice way to help participants, to help rank and file people to actually save for their retirement, whether they procrastinate, don't take any action or not. It's automatic. Now, they can give specific direction to say, I don't want to be a part of that, but the automatic default is going to be that they're in the plan and they're contributing. They can also set it up, and I've done this with some participants, where it's automatically increased each year. Say it bumps up 1% of your salary compensation each year. Another change from the SECURE Act is expansion of pooled employer plans, also called formerly called multiple employer plans. Pooled employer plans allow unrelated employers to join together to create retirement plans administered by a third party. They're now known, instead of a multiple employer plan, they're now known as a pooled plan provider. This is going to be something that'll help with economies of scale to decrease costs and take advantage of some of the size in leveraging costs with record-keeping providers. Department of Treasury and Labor, and effective in 2021, one bad apple relief means pooled employer plans will not be treated as failing if one employer does not meet its obligations to the plan. So that's another part of the SECURE Act's pooled employer plan provisions, is that it wouldn't disqualify a multiple employer or pooled plan just because of one bad apple. Safe Harbor 401k improvements. So this is making it so that a company that uses a Safe Harbor plan, which is a plan that helps them to alleviate or avoid a lot of the compliance costs and testing costs There are some benefits there. The SECURE Act provides greater flexibility for employers adopting a Safe Harbor 401k plan through a handful of measures. First of all, the annual Safe Harbor notice requirement is eliminated if a plan satisfies the Safe Harbor using a non-elective contribution. So what that means is, if a employer decides that they're going to make contributions that would be called non-elective to every employee, regardless of if they are doing a payroll deduction or elective deferral, then they can avoid doing the Safe Harbor notice that they are required to give each year. An existing 401k plan can be amended to become a non-elective Safe Harbor plan mid-year. The amendment must take place anytime before the 30th day before the close of the plan year. There's also another provision is plans that have the same trustee, named fiduciary, and investment options can file a single form 5500 with the Department of Labor. So another way to streamline and reduce costs and make it easier. Looking at a few other things that are a part of that SECURE Act, required minimum distribution age has been pushed out. Most individuals are now required to begin taking required minimum distributions after they turn age 72. Previously, it had been age 70 and a half. And so it gives you a little bit of extra time, and you don't have to worry about that half-year calculation, which can be a little bit off-putting for people. But your required minimum distributions can be put off now until age 72 if you don't need the money. So you're increasing that deferral. And under the current CARES Act, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment, the RMD, required minimum distribution, is waived for 2020. So because of COVID, because of the CARES Act, that the RMD is waived for this year only. But going forward, it'll be age 72. Expanding eligibility for long-term part-time employees is another provision of the SECURE Act. All 401k plans are required to include employees who work 500 hours per year or more for three consecutive years for purposes of making elective deferrals. Although the employer matches and non-elective contributions are not required, in addition, long-term part-time employees must be credited with 1 year of vesting service for each year with 500 hours of service. Service before January 1st, 2021 does not need to be counted for purposes of this rule. Thus, it's unlikely to affect employees until 2024. But that is going to be a nice improvement and benefit for part-time employees, which previously could be excluded from the plan, the plan document of the provider, the sponsor. Now, if they work 500 hours per year or more, then they can be included even if they're part-time. Anything before I go on to the CARES Act, Greg, that questions that may have arisen?
No, we just have about a minute left, Barry.
Okay. Well, quickly here, looking at the CARES Act, which came into effect earlier this year, it makes it easier to withdraw funds from a qualified plan. And that would be a 401k or IRA or a 403b. It eliminates penalties and certain early withdrawals. It relaxes rules on loans, and it provides greater flexibility and potential tax savings. Another thing that it does, as I already mentioned, it suspends the required minimum distributions for 2020. It offers flexibility for home mortgage payments under forbearance rules, and it provides an opportunity to reposition qualified money into products like individual annuities or a conversion to a Roth. And so if a person is having been diagnosed with COVID-19, has a spouse or dependent diagnosed with COVID-19, experiencing a layoff, furlough, reduction in hours, inability to work, the lack of child care because of COVID-19, you or your spouse had a job offer rescinded or a job start delayed because of COVID-19, you're experiencing adverse consequences to you or your spouse's finances, you're closing or reducing hours of business owned and operated by an individual, all of those would qualify for these forbearance or relieved rules for penalties, and it allows you to stretch the tax if you take a distribution to stretch it over 3 years. So very nice, and that also provides an opportunity to convert to a Roth plan. In closing, one thing to be sure of, check with your employer if you think you qualify for these, and make sure that your plan sponsor, your employer, has adopted the new plan rules. Pretty simple. It's an amendment to the plan, but they have to have adopted those to be able to take advantage of these. I'm going to wrap it up for there. Greg, if anyone wants to get a hold of me with further questions regarding any of these or any other related trust, estate, financial planning, investment questions, you can reach me at 517-768-0043.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Barry Malik, County National Bank.